live in Times Square. This is Good Morning America.
Good morning, America. A powerful new winter blast taking aim on this Thursday morning.
We do have a lot of news to get to this morning, including that breaking news from overnight on Capitol Hill. George, you're going to be speaking with the vice president live in just a few minutes.
Yeah, she is standing by after a late night on the Senate floor and a big setback for the president. The voting rights bill blocked again. President Biden addressed that, his stalled agenda, Ukraine, so much more at his marathon press conference. We're going to follow up with the vice president this morning.
But first, we begin with millions waking up to dangerous, icy conditions. As the Northeast braces for snow and ice this morning, Ginger is tracking it all. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning to you, Michael. You know, you may be waking up in Philadelphia or here in New York saying, wait, it's raining, but wait, the temperatures are tumbling, and we are concerned when it changes to a mix and then snow that it will freeze and could flash freeze into tomorrow morning, and our roads could end up looking like they did in Colorado, which were pictures that you just saw there from Longmont, Colorado. Fayetteville, Arkansas also had trouble on the roads with 1 to 3 inches around there. And then we want to leave you with a look at what's happening this morning, right? You've got that rain on the front of it, but it changes to snow for just a couple of hours. It'll be out of here by the afternoon. I really want you to see these warnings, though, from Corpus Christi over to Wilmington and Myrtle Beach. We're talking about freezing rain, especially tonight into early tomorrow, the kind that could add up to a quarter inch or more, take down power lines. We're talking snow in Virginia Beach all by Friday and into Saturday. Cecilia?
All right, Ginger, I know you'll be tracking it all for us. Thank you. We are going to turn now to that breaking news overnight out of Washington. Senate Democrats failing to overcome Republicans who blocked voting rights legislation just hours, of course, after President Biden's marathon press conference. Our congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott, on Capitol Hill all night long. Rachel, good morning to you.
Cecilia, good morning. It was a very late night here on Capitol Hill, and it ended in a blistering defeat for President Biden just 1 year into office. Voting rights legislation failing once again in the Senate. Every Republican senator voting against it, calling it a power grab, a federal takeover of the election system. The measure would have made Election Day a federal holiday. It would have expanded mail-in voting, early voting. Every Democrat supported this, and they tried a last-ditch effort to change the Senate rules to pass it without any Republican support. But that was blocked by two members of the president's own party, Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema. And take a look, just moments after that vote failed, Republicans lining up one by one to thank Senator Kyrsten Sinema, shaking her hand, Senator Mitt Romney even patting her on the back. Overnight, the president released a statement saying that he is disappointed, but he is not deterred. He even suggested that this legislation could be broken up into smaller pieces. The reality is, after a year of pressing forward trying to get this passed, Democrats have failed 5 times. George?
Rachel Scott, thanks very much. The president defended his record on voting rights in a marathon press conference before the vote, which covered all the major issues facing the White House. Vice President Kamala Harris will join us live after these highlights from senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, George. Well, for over an hour and a half, the president was grilled on his first year in office. He highlighted his accomplishments, but with his top legislative priorities still stalled in Congress and his poll numbers lagging, the president was also forced to play defense and admit he is going to have to make some changes.
This morning, President Biden conceding he has to break up his sweeping agenda if he hopes to get anything done.
Yes.
Do you need to be more realistic and scale down these priorities in order to get something passed?
No, I don't think so. I'm not asking for castles in the sky. I'm asking for practical things the American people have been asking for a long time.
But so far, that strategy isn't working. Is there anything that you are confident you can get signed into law before the midterm elections?
Yes, I'm confident we can get pieces, big chunks of the Build Back Better law signed into law.
The president eventually acknowledging he will have to settle for smaller victories and push for parts of his massive social spending bill.
I think we can break the package up, get as much as we can now, and come back and fight for the rest later.
And with members of his own party standing in the way of his push for voting rights, the president says that may have to be done piecemeal, too.
I also think we will be able to get significant pieces of the legislation if we don't get it all now.
1 year ago, Biden came to office promising he could cut deals with Republicans. He insists he didn't overpromise, but says he was caught off guard.
I did not anticipate that there'd be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important thing was that President Biden didn't get anything done. Think about this. What are Republicans for? What are they for? Name me one thing they're for.
And on the pandemic, the president touted his response so far, but also admitted a misstep.
The idea that on testing we've done, we should have done it quicker, but we've done remarkable since then. I don't view that as somehow a mark of incompetence.
And as tensions with Russia rise, the president making news, predicting Vladimir Putin will invade Ukraine. But Biden raising questions over how the U.S. and European allies will respond.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
The White House later clarifying that any movement of Russian forces across the Ukrainian border will be met with a swift, severe, and united response from the United States and our allies.
Now, the president also outlined a bit of what we can expect in year two, admitting they've had some communication challenges. He says going forward, he's going to be spending a little bit less time here in Washington and more time out in the country speaking directly with voters. Looking ahead to the midterm elections, the president says he's going to be deeply involved out there making the case for Democrats. And as for 2024, George, the president setting the record straight. Yes, he is going to run again. And he says that, yes, Kamala Harris will be his running mate. George.
Mary Bruce, thanks very much. And the vice president joins us now, Kamala Harris. Thank you for joining us this morning. Congratulations on the anniversary. I want to begin with Ukraine. An advisor to Ukraine's president told ABC News this morning that there's a lot of shock and dismay about the president's comments on Ukraine. He's facing criticism for appearing to give a green light to a minor Russian incursion into Ukraine. What did the president mean by minor incursion, and what would be the U.S. response?
Well, good morning, George. It's good to be with you. Listen, every morning I read the PDB, the Presidential Daily Brief, which, as you know, contains classified information about threats to our national security and hotspots around the world. I am often in the Situation Room with the president, with the leaders of our military and intelligence community, and what I can tell you is that the president has been very clear that if Russia takes aggressive action, it will be met with serious, severe, and a unified response and consequences. And that position that we have taken is grounded in a number of values that we hold dear, including the importance of respecting the sovereignty and territorial integrity, in this case of Ukraine. And we have not wavered from that perspective. We have been very clear with our partners and allies and with Vladimir Putin. Through various levels of discussions over a period of several weeks, if not months.
So any movement of Russian forces into Ukraine, into any part of Ukraine, even if it's not a full-scale invasion of Kiev, will be met by severe sanction and perhaps a military response?
We will interpret any violation of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity by Russia and Vladimir Putin as an aggressive action, and it will be met with costs. Severe, And certain.
Let's talk about voting rights. You said after the vote last night, of course, you were presiding in the Senate chamber, that the administration is not going to give up on the issue. What does that mean exactly? Are there executive actions the president can take that could accomplish the same goals?
Well, first, I appreciate you raising this issue because it is just foundational to our democracy. And I was there last night because there are two bills that were before the United States Senate, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. And they were designed, and I'm going to tell you why they were designed, because this is the reason we're not going to give up on it. They were designed to push back against the blatant and purposeful attempt by many states in our country to make it more difficult for all Americans to vote. There are laws that have been passed in our country that will reduce or eliminate drop boxes. Why is that important? Well, if you're a single parent, you got three kids in the back seat of the car, you don't have the ability to stand in line for hours to vote, but you want to vote. So you could fill out a black ballot and then drive by a drop box and drop it off. If you are an American with a disability and it is extremely difficult for you to go to where the polling place is, you can vote by mail, but there are restrictions being placed on vote by mail. When we look at laws that have been passed that make it illegal to give people who are standing in line to vote food and water. We know this is a violation of the spirit that we hold dear about our democracy in terms of the importance of everyone's right to vote and every eligible American's right to vote.
Well, yeah, you believe it's important. I see that. There's no question about that. The president is saying he believes it's important. But what are you going to do now?
Right.
It's not getting through the Senate.
Well, we're not going to give up on legislation because ultimately that is one of the most important aspects of what we must do to correct what has been happening in the various states. But there are other actions. So, for example, the Department of Justice has initiated investigations and action, civil action, as it relates to various laws that are a violation of our Constitution, letter and spirit. There is work that we will continue to do that is about convening folks around the country to uplift the message and to include what we need to do to expand the ability of all Americans to understand what's at stake. Because, George, I'll tell you, and that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation, you would probably not be surprised to know how many people in the midst of the everyday burden of life are unaware of what's happening. And so part of our mission is to ensure that folks know what is happening to their neighbor, what is happening in their neighboring states, and ultimately what will contribute to a weakening of our democracy. We started the conversation on foreign policy. I have met with presidents and prime ministers who are leaders of our partner and ally countries. And I will tell you, it frequently comes up, they ask, well, what about the issue of voting in America? Because you hold yourself out to be a role model of what it means to be a democracy. This is one of the most important pillars of a democracy, and it appears that there's an erosion in America. Well, that is an issue that we should take seriously in terms of our ability to argue for the strength of democracies versus autocracies. And there's a direct connection between this and what we need to do in terms of securing our national security and securing our standing in the world. All these issues are related.
Madam Vice President, final question. You were sworn in one year ago today. Reflect on that. How has this experience changed you?
That's a great question. You know, I will tell you one of the ways is that there's no question that we came in office during a confluence of crises. And to the extent that I've been able to travel, I've met some of the most extraordinary people, Americans in our country. I mean, we are, in fact, announcing today $100 million going to healthcare workers. Let's remember from the beginning of the pandemic to today, these are folks who are the heroes among us, who at the beginning, even when we didn't have vaccines, went to work every day, taking risks in terms of their own health and well-being in service of people who are perfect strangers to them. I've met small business owners who have kept the payroll going, even though they were at the very end of what they could do financially, but they knew they had to keep the business open for the sake of their community and their employees. I've met teachers who are committed to going to school and working each day, even though their resources are so few, but their mission is so important. And so there is a lot about a crisis that really does reveal the heroes among us. And in that way, I feel very inspired. I think we all should.
Madam Vice President, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank Michael? You. It's good to be with you.
All right, George, thank you. And as you said, President Biden's comments on Ukraine, it raised a lot of questions. The reaction overnight was immediate. Our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, is there on the ground. Good morning, Ian.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. That's right. An advisor to Ukrainian President Zelensky telling ABC News there's shock and dismay about Biden's comments that seem to suggest a green light to a minor Russian invasion. And I think that reflects a wider mood of concern. One senior Ukrainian military source saying it is so frustrating. And of course, all of this making Secretary of State Blinken's job in Berlin today all the harder, where he's meeting other European foreign ministers, trying to forge unity and a strong message to Moscow. This comes as Russia adds yet more forces and equipment, of course, to the tens of thousands massing around Ukraine's borders. Now, more weapons being transferred to Ukraine, this coming from the Baltic states with American approval. Not only anti-tank missiles, but the Lithuanian Defense Ministry telling ABC News that American-made surface-to-air Stinger missiles are going to be delivered to Kiev. This is going to be a major red flag to Moscow, and it really risks souring relations even further. Secretary of State Blinken, of course, meeting Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov Friday as the time for diplomacy seems to be running out. But interestingly, the Ukrainians here are worried that Washington and Europe are being played by Putin into talking up a crisis, and they don't feel that it is one. The Ukrainian Minister of Defense saying the civilized world is still playing chess with Russia, but Russia is playing poker with you. George?
Stakes are high. Ian Pannell, thanks very much. We're going to turn now to that breaking news overnight from the Supreme Court, rejecting Donald Trump's claims of executive privilege to clear the way for the release of hundreds of records from the Trump White House to the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Chief Washington correspondent John Carl has the story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, George. This is a big deal. This is going to give the January 6th committee access to records that would normally have been kept under seal for years. In some cases, even decades, they will have access to visitor logs, phone logs, to communications between top White House officials. The committee had also requested photographs and video records. Those would be turned over as well. This has the potential to open up an entirely new window into what was going on at the White House as the Capitol was under attack and in the days before that. And George, on another note, this is a major defeat for Donald Trump. He fought mightily to keep these records secret, and the Supreme Court resoundingly rejected that request, including all three justices that he nominated. He will be infuriated by this.
No question about that. John Carl, thanks very much. A lot more coming up here on GMA, including Bob Saget's widow, Kelly Rizzo, speaking about the late comedian's final days. A lot more headlines coming up this morning, including the breaking news overnight. Senate Democrats failed to overcome Republicans who blocked voting rights legislation just hours after President Biden's marathon press conference. The president did acknowledge he's going to have to settle for smaller victories, push for parts of his massive social spending bill rather than the whole thing. Also right now in the fight against the COVID surge, Dr. Anthony Fauci is now predicting that most of the U.S. will be past the Omicron peak by the middle of February. And for parents waiting for a vaccine to be authorized for kids under five, Dr. Fauci also says he expects data will be delivered to the FDA within the next month or so. And jury selection for the federal trial begins today for the three ex-police officers who were with Derek Chauvin when he killed George Floyd. All three face federal charges for violating George Floyd's civil rights. The jury selection process expected to take a few days. Opening arguments could begin early next week. If convicted, they could face life in prison or the death penalty.
And the FAA is warning flights may be diverted, delayed, or canceled along the East Coast and between San Francisco and Seattle. The new 5G technology and weather causing low visibility conditions means nearly 40% of commercial airlines are not approved to fly into 88 airports. The new wireless service rollout did not, however, cause any significant impacts on domestic airlines on its first day. And we've got a lot more coming up, including that urgent warning from the FBI. Cyber criminals could use those QR codes that you scan with your cell phone camera to steal your personal information. That is coming up.
Very important information there. Now to remembering Bob Saget. The beloved actor's widow, Kelly Rizzo, sat down with T.J. Holmes for an emotional conversation about the comedian's final days and the outpouring of love she's received from his TV family. Good morning, T.J.
Hey, good morning. You say emotional there. I was with her for a couple of hours yesterday, and I can tell you just about every single moment of it was emotional. Look, this is a woman we have to remember who is just a couple of months removed from celebrating her 3-year wedding anniversary with her husband. But she's also a woman who's just days removed from his funeral service and burying her husband. But yesterday she wanted to sit down to honor her husband. And yes, it was emotional. There were some tears, but we also got in a couple smiles, a few laughs, and that's what she said her husband would have wanted, the smiles and laughs, and that's the legacy now she wants to carry on.
Well, everything that I've been surrounded by has been a reminder of him and, you know, memory of him. And so it's been very, very sad, but also very beautiful.
Bob Saget, affectionately known as America's Dad.
Super Dad, flying out the door. Super Dad, you can eat right off my floors.
But to Kelly Rizzo, Bob Saget was a best friend, a travel buddy, her husband, the love of her life.
I presume you have been asked a lot over the past 10 days the question, how you're doing or how you're holding up.
I was telling people today that today is really almost the first day that, you know, there's only so many tears, like your body will let you cry.
We met near their L.A. home, just a week and a half removed from Saget's sudden passing at a hotel in Florida where he had just started his comedy tour. Rizzo says he was scheduled to come home to her the next day.
What was the last text?
Just, I love you so much and I can't wait to see you tomorrow, and I love you so much and can't wait to see you tomorrow.
What was the last conversation, phone call?
He was just on his way home or back to his hotel and just was telling me what a wonderful show he had and how it was so amazing, and he was happy and just loving what he did. It made him so happy to just bring laughter to people.
Rizzo describes it as complete sadness and shock and utter disbelief upon getting the news of her otherwise healthy husband's death.
He seemed to be a very healthy dude. Was there any health concern that you know of?
All I'll point to is once again that last post of his where he just
said he felt like he was 26 again.
But feeling good, he had talked on stage, I believe, about having COVID December or January.
I was not anything serious. He was great.
Saget seemed great, writing on social media the night of what would be his final show, "I'm back in comedy like I was when I was 26. I guess I'm finding my new voice and loving every moment of it."
He just wanted to spread love and laughter, and he did it so amazingly, and I'm just so proud of him because he truly brought people together. And I mean, he was just so wonderful. I was just so honored to be his wife and to be able to be a part of it and bring him any bit of happiness that I could, because he deserved it so much.
What would you like to share that just we weren't privy to that you would like for us to know about Bob?
He had the biggest heart of anyone I've ever known. He put everybody first. He did everything for everybody. If you had a problem, he was the first person that was going to take care of it and help you. And he was just the most caring and kind and thoughtful person. He was so thoughtful. He was just the most absolutely wonderful husband that I ever could have dreamed of.
Rizzo calls their love story a whirlwind that started after the two met the modern way. He DM'd her on social media. And after dating 3 years, they married in 2018, with Saget turning their ceremony into a bit of a comedy act.
Please tell me, what is going on in that picture? What are you doing?
Oh, gosh. Bob did, like, a minute of stand-up, like, during our vows. And he just made me laugh so hard.
Rizzo says Saget's three passions were his daughters, his comedy, and his cause. For decades, a champion for SRF, the Scleroderma Research Foundation, helping to raise millions and honoring his sister, who died of the autoimmune disorder in 1994. His friends are now honoring his work with the foundation. John Mayer and Candace Cameron Bure designed sweatshirts, one saying, "Love like Jesus, hug like Bob Saget," with all proceeds going to the SRF.
People went crazy for it. This one's very special because if you knew Bob, you know he gave the best hugs.
Come on, give your father a big hug.
Amy's crazy about you. She loves to hug. This is your kind of dog.
All right, come on in. Again? Come in.
Oh, jeez.
I keep hearing about these hugs, these Bob Saget hugs.
It was like a very deep, meaningful hug, and then he would like rest his head on your shoulder.
Rizzo, now grateful for the people that started out as his Full House TV family, but became his real-life family unit.
I'm so proud to have been able to raise these girls and know them since they were like my girls. I'm out there and I'm really seeing the world, and I got thousands of people, and there's something that this show has broken grounds of. I couldn't be prouder if I was your own dad, and I love you.
This fake family became it was real family.
Every single one of them has been so kind and supportive, and they've been there every step of the way, and they've just assured me that they'll be there for me. And I know that would make Bob very happy.
All right, let me tell you now about Kelly's new tattoo. She has a new tattoo. It's a bee. She showed it to me, a little bee for Bob right here. But she got it last summer to honor him, but surprised him. She went home, said, "Hey, check out my new tattoo." He said, "Well, what did you do that for? You should have told me ahead of time." He wasn't excited because he didn't get to sign it himself. He wanted to do the signature himself and told her she should do it over. And she said, "Hey, tattoos don't work like that." But now she looks at it, and that's a wonderful story and memory that she has. So she has plenty of that. I say emotional, but some of the emotion had to do with joy and happy memories that they had together. And I want everybody to hear this. SRFcure.org. SRFcure.org. They have a 1.5 million matching donation. They have a grant that all donations you make to that organization that he championed, all of them made in his honor, they will match it up to $1.5 million. So SRFcure.org. I want you all to hear that was very important. So she wants to continue his legacy of not just the laughs, but also the work that he's done.
Everybody saying universally how what a kind person he was.
Hadn't heard a bad. You don't hear that in this industry a lot, guys.
Yeah,
you know that.
So true. TJ, thank you so much.
You got it.
Coming up, everybody, we're going to switch gears and tell you why the FBI is warning that you should be careful when you use those QR codes.
We are back with an urgent new warning from the FBI about cyber criminals tampering with QR codes to try to steal your money and private information. Janae Norman has the story. Good morning, Janae.
Hey, George, good morning. From restaurants to retailers, it seems that we see QR codes everywhere nowadays. You just point your phone's camera at the barcode, you're directed to everything from menus to contactless payment. But now the FBI is warning you gotta be careful with them.
The new warning from the FBI this morning, urging caution for consumers when using QR codes. The agency says criminals are tampering with some codes to steal information and money, altering both the digital and physical square barcodes and replacing them with malicious ones. In Texas, officials in San Antonio, Austin, and Houston alerting the public of fake QR codes found on parking meters. So, how's it work, and how easily could you potentially become a victim? In October, we enlisted the help of Mark Ostrowski with cybersecurity firm Checkpoint to show you what could happen if you click on a bad website linked to a QR code.
I created this QR code you see here.
I scanned the QR code just as I would at a restaurant or store. It takes me to this site that looks completely legit and asks for my information to complete my payment. After I hit send,
it's thanking me for my purchase.
The information where it's supposed to go to.
Yeah.
In this particular scenario, that just sent an email to me.
Like literally instantaneously.
Instantaneous with all the information, right? The CCV code, the credit card number, email, address, all the personal information that I would need, maybe to assume your identity somewhere else.
So what are the concerns with QR codes? Because QR codes themselves aren't a problem. It's where it leads you to.
Exactly. So QR codes themselves are totally secure. But where the QR code takes you, or who's creating the QR code for malicious reasons, is what actually creates the scenario that we went through, where it's redirecting you somewhere you shouldn't go.
So we know QR codes are actually quite useful, especially since the pandemic began. So remember, QR codes are not inherently bad. It's what the bad guys do with them by sending you to bad links. That's what you got to be on alert for.
So how do you protect yourself?
Well, George, so our experts actually suggest not scanning any QR codes that are outside of businesses just to play it safe and make sure that they weren't tampered with. But if you do scan one, look for things like misspelled words, wrong punctuation. That happens a lot on phishing sites. Also, with the URL that comes up, see if there are any extra words. And of course, does the presentation of the website look professional? If it doesn't, pay attention to the graphics. If something seems off, it probably is. Guys.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan.
It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Millions who are waking up to dangerous, icy conditions as the Northeast braces for snow this morning. Rob Marciano is in Philadelphia tracking the latest with a nice beard. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Michael. Yeah, it's helping me keep me warm here, but not dry. It's raining here in Philadelphia. Temperatures are dropping, and we're looking for this rain to turn to snow. It's been a little bit delayed. You can see we're on, on one of the busier corners here, Market and 6th Street. Traffic's okay. So we're trying to get out of this rush hour, but this rain is going to change to snow. It did so in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Look at this. So this is why we're concerned. Arctic air coming in behind it, 1 to 3 inches of snow, and then a flash freeze. So we'll look for this sort of transition across the Northeast over the next few hours. But this is a quick-moving system, one of two that's going to come through. So 1 to 2 inches maybe along the I-95 corridor, I think mostly on secondary roads. Then the Arctic air comes in, and that sets up for the next system that's going to move across the south. And we've got winter weather advisories for potentially icing from San Antonio along I-10 near the Gulf Coast, and then getting up into through the Carolinas during the day tomorrow and tomorrow night. Ice storm warning up in states of emergency for the Carolinas. Could see a half an inch of ice in places like Myrtle Beach or Wilmington. That's going to be a difficult go tomorrow night into Saturday. George.
Okay, Rob, thanks very much. We're going to turn now to President Biden's marathon press conference. Covered all the major issues facing the White House. I want to go back to our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning again, Georgia. This was quite the press conference. Over an hour and a half of questioning on Biden's first year in office, the president touting his accomplishments, but also admitting he is going to have to make some changes. This morning, President Biden conceding he has to break up his sweeping agenda if he hopes to get anything done.
Is there anything that you are confident you can get signed into law before the midterm elections?
Yes, I'm confident we can get pieces, big chunks of the Build Back Better law signed into law.
The president eventually acknowledging he will have to settle for smaller victories and push for parts of his massive social spending bill.
I think we can break the package up, get as much as we can now, and come back and fight for the rest later.
And as tensions with Russia rise, the president making news, predicting Vladimir Putin will invade Ukraine. But Biden raising questions over how the U.S. and European allies will respond.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, etc. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
Earlier this morning, George pressing Vice President Kamala Harris.
So any movement of Russian forces into Ukraine, into any part of Ukraine, even if it's not a full-scale invasion of Kiev, will be met by severe sanction and perhaps a military response?
We will interpret any violation of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity by Russia and Vladimir Putin as an aggressive action, and it will be met with cost. Severe and certain.
Now, after the president's big push for voting rights legislation failed again overnight, blocked by members of his own party, the president said he may have to try and break that up to do that piecemeal as well. The president was adamant, though, that he did not overpromise to the American people on what he could deliver as president, but he did say he was caught off guard by how much Republicans are opposing him. George.
Mary Bruce, thanks very much. Coming up next, surprising new questions about the investigation into the tiger attack that ended Siegfried and Roy's iconic Las Vegas show.
And also ahead, we're going to switch gears. How many workouts as short as just 5 minutes can be as effective as an hour at the gym? Becky Worley is going to break that down for us.
Plus, Deals and Steals has everything you need to get a good night's sleep, all from small businesses. And gold medal snowboarder Sean White, he's with us live. We'll be right back.
Good morning, America. Lin-Manuel Miranda here. This Friday on GMA, we are celebrating Encanto, and yes, we will talk about Bruno. Don't miss it.
Oh, we're going to be talking about Bruno. Welcome back to GM, everybody. Get ready to celebrate Encanto. The movie soundtrack is topping the Billboard charts tomorrow. You saw him right there on GMA, Lin-Manuel Miranda, along with the voice of Bruno himself, John Leguizamo. They're both going to be joining us. I'm so excited about
that. Oh, that's going to be some fun right there. And right now it's time for some fun with Pop News with Lara. Hey, good morning, Lara.
Hey. Hi, guys. Good morning to you all. Good morning. And I'm really happy to report this morning, the Rocket Man is back. Sir Elton John returning to the stage last night after a nearly two-year hiatus, restarting his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour in New Orleans, Louisiana. Listen to this.
I'm still standing after all the time. Backing up the pieces of my life. You got you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah.
Yes, he is. I'm still standing. Elton's still standing, all right, playing that song and dozens of others from his 50-year career for the sold-out crowd. He thanked the audience for being patient and holding on to their tickets for, get this, 745 days through all of the rescheduling. John will play 40 stops in North America until April, then he is off to Europe. The final farewell shows, though, those will happen in New Zealand and Australia in 2023. Also this morning, the GLAAD Award nominations are out, and HBO leads the pack this year, followed by Netflix and Hulu. Every year, GLAAD honors TV, music, movies, and journalism for fair and accurate representation of LGBTQ people. And this year, Lil Nas X, Demi Lovato, Elton John, and more got nods in the Outstanding Musical Artist category. And we cannot leave out our own amazing team, ABC News, earning 4 nominations for this year's awards. The GLAAD Awards will be held on April 2nd. A little special shout out to my GMA little brother, Toni Morrison, who was nominated there. Congratulations to all of the nominees. Fans of Outlander, well, we've had to wait quite a while, speaking of patience, for season 6. And this morning, a glimmer of hope as the time-traveling Highlanders dropped their official trailer. Take a look.
It's starting.
If only they knew what was coming. The tide has turned.
King's counting on you, Mr. Fraser.
I can't be 2 things at once, Claire. A rebel, a loyalist. Agent for the crown and an enemy of the king.
You can't live your life afraid of being who you are.
Oh, it's so good. The American Revolution is coming for Jamie, Claire, and the gang, and fans cannot get enough. But hold on to your horse and carriage, because the show doesn't start up again for a while. Season 6 of Outlander premiering March 9th on Stars. And if Katrina Balfi's post saying to buckle up is any indication, it's going to be quite a doozy and well worth the wait. And finally, Dolly Parton celebrating her special day yesterday by posing in her birthday suit. Should we show this? Yeah, why not? There it is. There she is, looking all shiny and pink. Dolly captioned the photo, writing, quote, just hanging out in my birthday suit to mark her 76th trip around the sun. Happy birthday to our queen of country who gives so much to so many. And with that, I will send it back to you guys in the studio.
Thank you, Lara. We're going to move on now to our GMA cover story. A new look at Siegfried and Roy, the iconic performers whose Vegas show came to an abrupt end after a 2003 tiger attack left Roy fighting for his life. A new podcast is now raising fresh questions about the attack. Deborah Roberts has the details. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, George. Yeah, it's a deep dive into that fateful night, which ended the careers of Siegfried and Roy, the duo who redefined magic on the Vegas Strip with that dazzling show that included those massive white tigers. Well, now nearly 20 years later, this podcast team is sifting through the investigation, asking questions about whether it was truly an accident or maybe even a calculated attack.
This morning, a new podcast taking listeners behind the Velvet Curtain, reporting new details about the police investigation into that tragic night in 2003, when a nearly 400-pound white tiger mauled and nearly killed Roy Horn, ending the famous Vegas Siegfried and Roy Act.
We went into that investigation not even knowing what we were looking for. We didn't even know where to begin.
We always assume that there's a possibility of a crime.
On Wild Things, an Apple TV Plus podcast, investigators telling how they explored all kinds of theories as Roy fought for his life, including whether the attack may have been provoked in what amounts to attempted murder.
There was some discussion about, you know, could animal rights activists have been involved in some kind of crime? Somebody in the crowd, somebody in the staff. We discussed the possibility of being trace evidence. We were just looking for anything that could have prompted this tiger to do what he did.
Our reporting showed that some of the theories that they had were absolutely bonkers.
Roy was left partially paralyzed, but always defended his tiger Manticore, insisting it was never an attack, but an attempt by the massive tiger to carry him to safety after sensing that Roy was having a stroke.
Yeah, that's good. It's like with everything with animals. You can't take nothing for granted, even if you think you know it all. It's a physical risk.
A government investigation ended in 2005 with no conclusion about the cause of the mauling. I sat down with Siegfried and Roy back in 2019 for their final interview, 16 years after the incident.
You've been in each other's lives for 50 years.
I said, I love you. So, and he says, if I would have to do it again, I would do everything again the same way. I regret nothing.
Whatever happened on stage that night, it was the end of an electrifying era on the Vegas Strip. The German duo, who dazzled audiences for years, brought their magic back to the stage only one other time after the incident, yet never stopped believing in the magic they created for the millions who made Siegfried and Roy Vegas royalty.
Siegfried and Roy have both passed away, always insisting that this was just a tragic mishap. One of their handlers, though, was publicly quoted as saying that Roy Horn bore some of the blame, that he wasn't completely on his game that night and had changed up some things in the act. That podcast, which asks all kinds of questions, will be airing on Wednesdays for the next few weeks. Cecilia?
Look forward to that. Okay, Deb, thanks so much. We're going to switch gears and turn now to a way to level up your fitness routine. And it turns out maybe less is more when it comes to how long your workouts are. Becky Worley is breaking down this new trend. So you're saying I get to do shorter workouts, but I got to do more of them.
Yeah, that's about right. The American Heart Association suggests at least 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise, or maybe 75 minutes of rigorous exercise. But one of the hottest trends in fitness to come out of the pandemic, workout snacks, breaking up that duration of workouts into mini exercise bouts that can be just as effective as an hour at the gym and way more convenient.
Warm up. Go hard, cool down. About 40 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week.
That's always been my vision of fitness.
But a new trend emerging out of the pandemic and sports science shows that shorter, more frequent workouts of less than 15 minutes can produce similar health gains.
The number one reason people give for not committing to regular exercise is time. The aggregate of small bouts of movement throughout the day, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. At the end of the day, it all adds up.
The most impactful option is high-intensity interval training, or HIIT. 10 to 15 minutes of taking your heart rate way up has been shown to improve cardiovascular health, blood sugar stability, and blood pressure levels. But what's really new in the mindset around these shorter workouts comes from strength training, body weight exercises, and yoga classes all facilitated online.
At least a 5-minute bout of resistance exercise has been shown to contribute to muscular strength, muscular endurance, psychological benefits.
Recent studies show that positive effects are achieved whether resistance training is done in long sessions or in shorter bouts.
We don't need a special outfit, special shoes, special equipment. Wherever you are, whatever you're wearing, you can do something physically active.
In 10 minutes, you don't get super sweaty, so I can just go back to what I was doing before.
But with a sense of accomplishment that I broke up my day with a few little workout snacks.
Now, experts advise setting an alarm that goes off a couple times a day, signaling a workout break. You can plan them in advance, maybe arms and then core or legs. And because there isn't a big warm-up period, you do have to listen to your body if you feel a muscle twinge or any pain that's not just fatigue. But guys, when I think of these workouts like a snack, none of my normal excuses work.
Well, you answered our question. We were like, how do you manage this with the shower? But you're like, you don't get that sweaty, so just do it. Workout snacks, that's the way to go. Becky, thanks so much.
It's time now for what we've been waiting for all morning, Deals and Steals. And this morning is all about Sweet Dreams. Tori Johnson has product to help you get your sleep. And they're all from small businesses. And you can check them out by pointing your cell phone camera at that QR code on your screen. Tori Johnson, good morning to you. We're going to get right into it because we all can't wait to hear more about sleep, of course. Weighted blanket. They become so popular, but this one, it keeps you from getting overheated.
Yes, Michael, this is Nodpod Body. And what's cool about this is that it is portable and it is smaller than a typical large weighted blanket. This is about 6.5 pounds and it's a body contouring. It's going to allow you to take it anywhere you want to go, use it wherever you need to use it. You get all the benefits of a weighted blanket, but in a pod that's smaller, lightweight, and also washable. One of the complaints about some larger ones, it's got a cooling jersey cotton on one side, and then the other is a warm micro fleece. 7 colors, they're all awesome. Your choice, $40.
My choice is the one in Giants blue. I need that for my nap this afternoon. Well, next we have this bedding. It is made with technology that's used in NASA spacesuits.
Yes, and that is what allows Slumber Cloud to be temperature regulating. So that means it keeps you cool and feels comfortable cool all the time. It puts an end to that pulling and tugging on the covers, kind of tossing covers all around to find that right temperature. It sort of does it for you. We've got bedding, mattress pad, down alternative pillow. It's ideal for hot sleepers, hot mattresses, hot bedrooms, just hotties all around. Everything is slashed in half. The prices start at $19.50.
And this machine, I love these machines. It's a great one for, this is great for anybody who's on the go.
Yes, yoga sleep. So whether you're on the go from room to room or place to place, this is great. It has both sounds as well as a nightlight built in. 8 really robust sounds. There's everything from white noise, streams, thunderstorms, whatever kind of helps get you to relax. Whether it's relaxing or falling asleep, this is the device that's for you. It's also convenient because it fits in the palm of your hand. Even a tiny hand like mine, not just your hand, weighs less than 5 ounces. This is a winner today. It is $13.
All right, fits in my hand easily. And some people, they already have their pillow. They like their pillow, but it gets a little hot. But you have pillowcases that can keep you cool at night.
One word, baby, chill. That's what we get from Discover Night. It's designed to keep your head cool all night. The fabric is a blend that's cooler than cotton and polyester, and it's not going to wash out or diminish over time. We've got all of the sizes. This is a good one. Like you said, if you like your pillow and just want an upgrade to keep cool, this is for you, and it starts at $25.
All right, that's a great deal right there. And this next one, I love the name. It's called a marshmallow blanket because it's just that soft.
Who would not love that? It is just that soft. I love it. This is from Softies, their new marshmallow blanket. We've got 4 very chic colors. It's going to look great on a chair or a couch. It's a cashmere-like feel. That's how soft it is. It's also very generously sized. So whether you want to take it in the bedroom or leave it on the couch, it's going to keep you cozy. $59.
$59. And finally, we have some loungewear, Tori. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is Cijo, and it really is a celebration of both comfort and luxury. It's all temperature regulating. We've got a huge assortment for both women and men. I like to say that it's a curated collection of their top sellers, tops, bottoms, dresses, and it's really soft fabric. I wish everybody could feel it. It is so soft. It is so breathable. It's comfortable to sleep in or to lounge in. You cannot go wrong with this line, and it just drapes and fits beautifully. Our assortment is 50% off. It starts at $17.50.
Well, I wish they could feel it too, and I second everything you said about it. It feels incredible. And Tori, thank you as always. And we partner with these companies on these great deals. You can get them by heading directly to our website. Coming up, gold medal winning snowboarder Sean White. He's about to leave for Beijing for his 5th Olympics, and he's going to join us live before he does. We'll be right back. It's rainy Thursday morning here in Times Square. And let's say welcome back to GMA. And the Winter Olympics in Beijing is kicking off in 2 weeks. And this morning, we're excited to have four-time Olympian and the only snowboarder ever to have won three gold medals, Shaun White, joining us. And Shaun, it's great to have you back on GMA this morning, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's great to see you. Now, we're going to start off a little throwback Thursday because you posted this photo of you on a podium as a kid reflecting back on your 23-year career. So what does it mean to be heading to your fifth Olympics?
It's incredible, you know, to be at top of a sport like this, it's ever changing for this long. I mean, I just feel so honored to be doing that. And it's so wild because when I look around, everybody in the start corral area, they're all people that I used to compete with, you know, they're coaches now, they got their kids on their shoulders and I'm still at it. I'm still going. But I'm so honored. I mean, to make the team is just incredible. And I get to be an Olympian again, you know, get to run out of the tunnel with Team USA. And it's just so exciting.
Well, you're not just there. You're crushing it, by the way. And have you decided that this will be your last one?
Yes, I did. You know, that was something that just kind of, you know, you look for those little signs. And I was having, you know, little knee injury here, little ankle injury there, just these little things. And I remember my back hurting one day. And my buddies were like, well, what happened? I was like, nothing. It just hurts. You know, it's like those those little things. So, yeah, this will be my last run. And I'm pretty excited about it because everything's got this, you know, this last dance sort of glow to it. You know,
that's the exciting part. It's also so unusual, of course, because it's taking place during the pandemic. What kind of precautions are you taking?
Yeah. You know, we've been trying to keep in our little bubble, you know, just select friends and family, physical therapists I have with me. But it's been difficult. You know, everybody's testing, doing the best they can. And I think that's all you can really do is just try to keep everybody safe. And I know that going over to China, I mean, we are testing every other day right now. It's pretty intense, and but it's nice they're taking those precautions.
Yeah, good to take those precautions. It is going to look and feel different, Beijing. I know you guys know this, that there's not going to be friends and fans and family in the stands and out there watching like normal. How does that impact you? How does that impact the other athletes, do you think?
You know, it's intense. I look back on my career and my first Olympics, and I'll never forget winning and sliding down and seeing my whole family, and they're just crying and tears of joy, and you know, the whole crowd and that feeling you get. So it's going to be different. But honestly, I do applaud the Olympics for putting on something like this in such a challenging time. And, you know, think for myself, if they keep postponing it, you know, in hopes that things get a little bit better, you know, I might not be able to compete. Other athletes might not be able to compete. So, you know, I think it's great that they're doing it. And, yeah, like, I think we're all just going to try to get out there and do our best. I do know that, like, we do feed off the crowd, so that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, that energy definitely does help. And you won your first Olympic gold in 2006 when you were 19. Well, now you're 35.
Uh-huh.
So how do you prepare differently now than you did back then?
Well, I had longer hair back then, so it's a little easier routine these days. No, I don't know. I think every single time I go to the Olympics, it's just a different process. I mean, and I always kind of, you know, think that what got me to this point in my career won't necessarily take me the rest of the way. And so, not only have I been focusing a lot on like my physical health, but just like the mental health of it all, you know, staying positive and staying motivated and like the people that are around me. You know, I think it's more calculated practice sessions. I would say it's more like a power window than I used to just be up there all day long. I'm like, okay, like I don't have that much energy as I used to. I'm not, you know, an old guy by any means, but you know, at the last competition, one of my competitors was like 15. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, so I'm definitely like pacing it out a bit more, and I take a lot more time to recover. So I'll take my off days, and it's definitely more calculated now.
All right, Shaun, we got to ask you, back in 2018, you had that amazing final run. You nailed it. You did those two jumps, spinning around four times in the air, 1440, if I got that right. How are you going to top that?
Yep. goodness. You know, it's going to be an incredible competition. There's talks of triple corks now, these triple flips that are happening. A lot of the Japanese riders have been attempting those. There's talks of doing a 16, which is 180 past the 1440. But it's going to be incredible. I don't know. I don't want to give anything away, but I've been working on some new moves, and I'm hoping that everything really peaks once I get to the competition. Once I see the start gate, once I see the competitors and get to drop in.
What else are you working on besides the Olympics?
My goodness. Great question. You know, it's so funny because as one door closes with my competitive career, another one opens, and I started a snowboarding and activewear company with my brother. It's called White Space. It's actually right behind me. Little product placement. it's so much fun. You know, all my experience over the course of my career, you know, I get to put that into a new product and a new a brand, and all my focus and attention. And it's just been such a rewarding thing to work with family. And I keep getting this like idea in my head where, you know, I was 7 years old when I first got my, I actually first got a snowboard from Jake Burton, who unfortunately passed away, recently, but, you know, he gave me that start, and I keep thinking like, wow, if I could be that for the next generation, you know, some young boy or girl or, you know, whoever is starting up and has that spark and excitement for the sport, and I could be there to support with my, you know, wisdom and, experiences.
Well, you're definitely inspiration, Sean, and congratulations on heading out to the Olympics. Good luck going for your fourth gold. We will be rooting for you, my friend. All right, take care, man.
Thank you so much.
Oh, cheers. Definitely, our pleasure. We'll be rooting for you for sure. And coming up, we have the intense documentary taking you inside the front lines of the pandemic. That's all coming up when we come back.
On this day 2 years ago, the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in the U.S. In a National Geographic documentary, The First Wave takes us inside a New York hospital on the front lines during the early days of the pandemic. Will Reeves spoke with one of the doctors. Hey, Will.
Hey, good morning, George. The First Wave has been shortlisted for an Oscar nomination. The film is a raw, essential dive into a harrowing moment in history and, says one doctor, in the eye of that storm, so much more.
We need some help in here now.
As COVID-19 swelled around the world and crashed on American shores in March of 2020, cameras followed the staff of one overwhelmed New York City hospital, documenting their grim, determined battle.
Each one is getting harder and harder.
The First Wave, a National Geographic documentary from award-winning filmmaker Matthew Heineman, is a portrait of pain and perseverance.
I have a pulse.
In patients and the doctors and nurses charged with their care at Long Island Jewish Medical Center. The film trains an unblinking eye on a bleak reality.
I felt like I was drowning. I felt like there was a weight on me that I kept swimming up. A weight was pushing me right back down.
Alrighty, I'm back.
Dr. Natalie Duje is a central character in the documentary.
Well, I'm gonna be in charge of your care while you're here.
Viewers are with her as she treats patients, comforts and consoles their loved ones, and does whatever she can to get the upper hand on the virus.
How many hours a day were you working at that time?
I don't think I ever saw the sun, to be honest with you, but even at home, I was inundated with trying to find information of how I can help my patients, because I had that ultimate responsibility to provide the best care possible.
What was the hardest part about those long days?
On top of just the worry of my loved ones being okay, the mental toll.
Amid the first wave, Dr. Duje felt compelled to protest the killing of George Floyd. The Nat Geo cameras were there.
Don't, it's not even, it's not, it's not, it's not. Don't do it. You got people that care about
the longest time, hugs were like banned. You couldn't hug anyone. I hadn't had an embrace like that in such a long time. So I think I helped him, but in that moment, he helped me as well.
What significance does that moment hold for you now, almost 2 years later?
The power of connection.
When you need to find hope, where do you look?
I actually close my eyes and look inward, because what I see the world as is way better than this. And really harnessing all the good qualities that I possess, and I think each of us possess, I think that's how we can kind of look towards a better day.
Better days ahead.
Absolutely. I'm still going to be an optimistic realist.
The First Wave is streaming on Hulu, and from now through Friday, you can watch it online at natgeo.com/thefirstwave and on the ABC and National Geographic apps. George?
Inspiring story, Will. Thanks very much. Let's go to Ginger.
Thanks, George. We have some exciting news. A new GMA channel on Apple Podcasts is available right now. So you can now listen to GMA 7 days a week. You can get all the latest news, inspiring stories while you're on the go. A lot of people say, hey, I have to go to work. Well, now you can listen. And check out the new entertainment podcast, Close Up. It is hosted by Kelly Carter. And you can get the new season of Life Out Loud with LZ Granderson. Just scan the QR code on your screen to find GMA on Apple Podcasts. And now we want to level up your small business. So a lot of people have turned their passions to profit right now because of the pandemic. And this segment is sponsored by GoDaddy, which helps everyday entrepreneurs grow their businesses. Like this woman, whose green thumb is now making her a lot of green.
Kat Hernandez is a Brooklyn-based entrepreneur who turned her love for plants into a growing small business.
I have always felt like more calm and just felt my space more as a sanctuary when I've had plants in them.
It began as just a seed of an idea back at the start of the pandemic.
More people are in their homes now working from home, and so you take a look around sometimes and you're just like, you know what, maybe I should make this place feel more warm and just better to be in. And I think that people realize that plants do that.
So out sprouted Juanita's plants, named after her grandmother.
I find the healthiest plants and I do maybe like some trimming, and I make sure that it's something that I would want in my home or that I feel good to purchase myself.
As her budding business began to bloom, Kat decided to work with our sponsor, GoDaddy. And in just the first month, her sales tripled.
That transition to GoDaddy and launching an e-commerce site allowed me to just kind of step back and be like, okay, you know, there's an easier transaction process for people to know what I have available, and also for me to track my orders, my sales, what's working, what's not.
Experts say that there are key ingredients to leveling up your online business. First, use high-quality photos showcasing your product from multiple angles.
Building a website is one thing, but if your customers don't find it easy to browse your products, they don't find it exciting to look at your products, they won't buy and they won't come back.
Next, expand your reach beyond your website by selling on popular online marketplaces.
GoDaddy Online Store helps them showcase their products not just on their website, but also on Amazon, Etsy, Instagram, manage all of their products from one place so that they can sell a lot more. And all of their sales can be powered by GoDaddy payments. They save 20% on processing fees alone.
And nowadays, giving customers the options to buy online and pick up in-store is a must. As for Kat, she'll even deliver your plant right to your doorstep.
Hi, how are you? Looks great.
I know that some people maybe don't want to work 24/7 on something, but I just feel like I'm in the right place. Like, I love plants and I love doing this.
Coming up here on GMA, Ally Sheedy and Sophia Black D'Elia, the stars of Single Drunk Female. They're joining us live.
Welcome back to GMA. We are excited to be joined right now by Sophia Black D'Elia and Ally Sheedy. There they are. They star in Single Drunk Female. It's a brand new dramedy about a young woman forced to sober up and move back in with her mom. Ladies, good morning. We're so glad you guys are here.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, we're glad to be here.
Thanks for having
us. I'm so excited to talk to you. We're going to talk about the show in just a second, but Ally, it's Thursday. We got to throw it back because we pulled out the archives knowing that you were coming. So the last time you were on, get ready, you know we love an archive. The last time you were on GMA, 2010, it was a Breakfast Club reunion. There you guys are.
Oh my gosh.
So what is this I'm hearing about the cast voted you best dancer?
Listen, okay, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I buy that 100%.
Yeah. Still to this day. Look, I got to tell you, I am a fangirl. Breakfast Club is on my list of top movies. I was just telling the crew here, definitely among the top cinematic films ever created. It is so good. Allison, your character that you played, completely quirky. So I got to ask you, any guesses on like where she would have ended up, what she would be doing today?
I actually think she would probably be an editor at a newspaper. Ooh. You know, like the opinion or the review section at the New York Times.
Yes.
That would be great for Allison. I could see that.
I totally see that. I'm with you. Sophia, I got to ask, were you a Breakfast Club fan?
Of course. I was Breakfast Club fan, but more than that, I was a huge Ally Sheedy fan.
Okay.
I remain a huge Ally Sheedy fan.
Okay.
Even more of a
this
fan
is my
now.
Baby girl.
We like each other a lot.
Yes, we do. We love each other, actually. I could tell. I was watching you on the monitor here right before we came on, and I could just see the interaction between you guys. You seem like you're really good friends. So let's talk about the show, Single Drunk Female. Ally, you play Sophia's TV mom in the show. So just seeing you guys there, I can see it sort of seems like that translates a little bit off screen to the mom-daughter relationship.
It absolutely does, and I have to watch myself because I am both protective and a little bit possessive of Sophia. So I've tried to find some boundaries that works really well in with Carol. So it's all, you know, the line there is easy to cross.
Let's show everybody a clip real quick. This is you, Ally, picking up Sophia's character from Rehab. Let's take a look.
Who's that, your rehab boyfriend?
No, it's my therapist, Sydney.
Did you just talk about me the whole time?
Yes, Mother, it's all about you.
But yeah, basically.
So good. Basically, yeah. Okay, Sophia, you guys are texting buddies, I hear, but Ally isn't the best at necessarily waiting for you to actually respond.
No, she's a lot like my real mom in that you just have to respond as soon as possible. I think they both sort of maybe think the worst or get frustrated with me. I get from both of them, I get like full name, all caps texts if I don't respond quickly enough.
I'm trying not to do that anymore.
No, I love it. I feel so lucky I got a second mom out of this.
It seems like you guys have had a really good time working together.
Oh yeah, the best.
Yeah,
yeah.
We loved it.
We just clicked right away and it was like, I was so nervous to meet Ally. I've been a fan for so long, and there was just like a common language between us. It was easy right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the show, ladies. It does happen. And Sophia, congratulations. We hear you just got married. So congratulations on that, too.
Oh, yeah, I did. Thank you so much.
Beautiful picture there. Everybody, you'll want to see them. The first two episodes of Single Drunk Female, they premiere tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on Freeform and the next day on Hulu. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
And before we go, some big news for golf fans. For the first time ever, ESPN Plus is covering the American Express on PGA Tour Live. The action starts today at 11:30 a.m. Eastern and goes all the way through Sunday.
And you're not going to want to miss our big Encanto celebration. That's tomorrow.
Thank you for watching. Have a great day.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.